Welcome to the Wirex Weekly Crypto Podcast, where we dive into engaging conversations with experts, thought leaders, and innovators. And I'm your host, Yana. It gives me great pleasure to introduce our guest for today's podcast episode, Owen Healy, Director of Owen Healy Blockchain Talent. Welcome to the show, Owen.
Nice to be here, and yeah, thanks for having me.
Today, we're going to talk about Web3 recruitment. Working in Web3 is exciting, but the industry's fast pace can make landing a job challenging. And I'm looking forward to our conversation, Owen, as your insights will be invaluable for those seeking to break into this dynamic field. But before we dive into all that, could you tell us about your professional background a bit more?
Of course. So working in the blockchain space for over 3 years, recruiting in the industry for over 3 years now, and very much enjoy it. 24/7, 365, but very much enjoy it. Before that, I was working as a human resource manager and acquired multiple years HR experience, working in industries such as banking, construction, food, among others. And through that, I worked, my tasks involved internal recruitment, grievances and disciplinaries, employee engagement, various different HR responsibilities. And I suppose from there then, during the COVID pandemic, I found myself unemployed and found myself recruiting in blockchain tech. It was a long time passion of mine for several years, and obviously very much interested in Bitcoin from, especially since the 2017 bull run. And from there, my interest intensified, and I guess when I had very little options at my disposal, I looked at joining the blockchain industry and how it could contribute. And I was fortunate enough to build some contacts and haven't really looked back since. But I believe my HR background has certainly helped me in my recruitment capacity, because I can understand, I guess, a lot of employee frustrations in jobs and get to know them on a human level a lot better, given the previous experiences that I've acquired.
Yeah, I think you make the perfect bridge, right? Especially for like Web3 recruitment. So can you tell me, like, you know, what's the difference between Web2 and Web3 recruitment?
Yeah, great question. So I guess it's a lot more social. It's obviously global. And yeah, I guess on the global side, the vast majority of employers work on globally dispersed teams. So the vast majority of projects work remotely. And I guess that as a recruiter makes things a lot easier for me in terms of having a broader, I can recruit people from multiple different jurisdictions. However, obviously the talent is a lot more niche and specialized. So I guess that's the flip side to that. But in respect to Web3 recruitment, yeah, it is a lot more social. And I guess from a personal perspective, I would say that personal branding has a lot to do with it. Word of mouth has a lot to, you know, and I would say that, yeah, a lot of the people working in the Web3 space are very much people who very much, how would I best describe it, value interpersonal relationships with their recruiters and want to really kind of work with them very closely. And I guess there's a more human to human level of interaction in Web3 recruitment as opposed to Web2 recruitment, where it's very much sales based and very much about kind of getting the person over the line. Whereas good Web3 recruiters are very much focused on the candidate experience and maintaining strong relationships from the outset.
Wow. And what are some of the common challenges faced by job seekers in the Web3 space?
So I guess the market is thankfully improving at the moment. There's more VC money coming into the space. Projects are a lot more confident with their treasuries. That's obviously fantastic. So this time last year, the industry was in a dire state. FTX had obviously happened and token prices depleted. VC money had dried up. But thankfully now, the market is in a much better position. However, it is still challenging to get that foot in the door, I guess, or that first experience in Web3, especially first paid employment within Web3, it is challenging, especially for people from non-technical disciplines. And I guess that is the most common challenge, just getting involved, getting just that step on the... Web3 is, I suppose, is an industry where people build their own ladders rather than climb an existing ladder. But just getting that foot into the space is very challenging for people. And I guess, again, a lot of effort needs to... networking, getting to know people is something that people really do need to put a lot of effort into when trying to seek their first opportunity within the Web3 space, especially without previous industry experience.
Right. And as a recruiter, are there any specific qualities you actively look out for in a candidate? And what are they?
So I guess somebody that is obviously a good communicator, somebody that's very well able to articulate their experiences, somebody that he has come to the call prepared, that knows a bit about the project that I've sent him or her already on the screening call. I love candidates that ask me the right questions in respect to the project's roadmap, their funding runway, the existing team. Why is the role available? Was there a previous candidate or a previous person in the job? All those questions are... I love being asked questions as a recruiter, and I guess so. That's what I really love. When I speak to candidates that come prepared and ask questions and are very well able to articulate their experiences. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost like a dating thing, right? You know?
Oh, yeah.
Could you talk us through the recruitment process for a client? And if you don't mind, to also talk through the recruitment process for a job seeker. I mean, what are the steps they have to go through?
So, yeah, when speaking to clients for the first time, again, it is like dating effectively. I have to understand whether I can help them, number one, and whether I want to help them, number two. And I guess when I speak to the clients for the first time, I effectively want to understand the project's unique value proposition, number one, what makes their project unique. And if I can get a clear gauge as to what their unique value proposition is on the call, well, then I can articulate that to candidates on the screening calls. I guess I always like to understand their progress to date, any partnerships that they might have in situ, funding that they've raised, who's funding them. I want to get to know a bit about their roadmap and their future aspirations, and understand who their ideal client or who their ideal candidate is, what experience should he or she have, and the time zone or location that they prefer, and what's expected of the first candidate, or what's expected of the successful candidate in the first month, the third month, and the sixth month. And that relates back to my HR experience when I was doing probations. I guess I love asking candidate or clients what's expected of the successful candidate in the first month, the third month, and the sixth month, because I want to understand whether the client has a clear roadmap for the person that they intend on employing. And I guess I like to understand the salary that they want to pay the candidate the successful candidate as well, the proposed interview process, and the nature of the employment relationship as well. So there's a lot of different things that I try and gauge when I speak to clients for the first time. And on the candidate side, again, what I try and do is I try and obviously get to know the person as an individual, get to learn more about their experiences, and get to understand why they might be looking for a new opportunity. And also, I try and weave in some competency-based questions into my screening calls as well. The screening calls usually take between 20, 25 minutes with each candidate. And in those calls, I weave a few competency-based questions
into my screening calls as well. And the reason I do that is simply because I want to know the story, not just the glory. So I want to effectively throw in a few curveball questions into the screening calls, because I don't want the candidate controlling the conversation, and I want to know whether the person is all talk or not effectively to the best of my ability. And I find competency-based questions too in the screening call very, very effective in that regard.
I think Apple does that as well, right? You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I read something about that. Yeah, and what are some of the common mistakes that job seekers make during the interview process for Web3 positions?
Sure. So common mistakes are very similar to Web2. Poor resumes, poor LinkedIn profiles. LinkedIn is your shop window for looking for work, and obviously having the right keywords in place, having your experiences detailed on LinkedIn is crucial for recruiters like myself and talent acquisition specialists to find us or to find them. And I guess with regards to other mistakes is poor resume formatting as well. So I guess common mistakes in resumes are having candidates not distinguishing past tense from present tense in the resume, having poor formatting on the resume. And from a talent acquisition perspective, if I was working for Binance or Coinbase and I'm reviewing hundreds of resumes every single day, I only have about between 5 and 10 seconds to understand whether I want to explore that resume further. So you really have to have a top class executive summary. The top half of your resume has to be very impressive and really catch the attention of the reviewer. Yeah, I guess that's the most common mistake. And I guess with regards to being Web3 specifically, I suppose going out there, putting yourself out there, networking, it's a globally dispersed industry. It's still a very small industry with small fragmented teams. So understanding that your network is your network in this industry is something very valuable, regardless of your skill set and experiences. Word of mouth travels fast. And I would say, like, for anyone looking to get into the industry, I would say kind of understand whether it's for you, do some pro bono work and build up your contact list. And after a few months, then you'll find that people will advocate for you and try and help you get an opportunity within the space.
Yeah. And you know, just I wanted to expand that a little bit more and ask if you help any of the job seekers with their resume at all. I mean, if you see a potential in a candidate, right, for example, but the resume is slightly not up to par, right? Do you offer any coaching or help them, you know, to reformat? Or
yes, it's the short answer. I don't charge for it. I often speak to candidates that are maybe struggling, and when you read the resume, it's easy to understand why, and they might have poor font sizes, bad line spacing, double columns. They might have top class experiences with well known projects in the space, but they may have had one or two poor experiences since then. So they might be perceived as a job hopper, for example. There's various different means and ways of how we can craft resumes. But the first page of the resume is absolutely crucial, and I do work a lot with candidates in helping them craft a good in a good resume. And I always emphasize to candidates that look at it from the perspective of the person the first person that will be looking at your resume. You need to stand out. You've only 10 seconds max to impress the person reading it. So the executive summary at the very top of your resume really has to be stellar for the people reading down. And if you can get a referral from somebody working at a project that you might know, obviously go about it. And because, again, word of mouth in this industry is crucial, yeah.
And also, have you come across resumes that are clearly written by AI?
So it's obviously hard to tell, but I would assume so, yeah.
Right. Okay. And how do employers assess a candidate's potential for growth and adaptability in the Web3 industry?
So that's a great question. That kind of comes back to where I utilize competency-based questions into my screening calls, because I want to know the when I ask competency-based questions, I want to know about the person's journey and how they might have achieved X or Y in their previous positions. And obviously, you want to know a bit more about their overall interest as well. So, yeah, you'll often see it in their passion and the level of research they do ahead of the call. But it's a very, again, I find competency-based questions kind of great for helping assess somebody's transferable skills, because I guess there's no amount of people in Web3 that will tell you that will brag about the millions that they've raised for a project, the brands that they might have previously collaborated, or I guess the exchanges that they got projects listed on. So competency-based questions are kind of great for getting the overall story. And I don't know if that answers your question, but yeah, and what's obviously great as well to see is people that have obviously shown a proof of interest in the space. So if they're coming to me and they're doing courses, whether it's a Solidity Bootcamp or the University of Nicosia Introduction to Digital Currencies course, well, obviously, if I see proof of interest in their resume, well, then I can see there's a level of interest and that they're working and they're building the foundations for their own success. So, yeah. And if they're networking within the space already and getting to know people from various different ecosystems or various different disciplines and industry leaders within the space, even better. So, yeah, I don't know if that answered your question, and I'm probably talking too much, but yeah.
No, it did. And it's really interesting and great that you also, point them to different courses, right? Because then, that does show a commitment of wanting to empower these candidates, And what are some of the red flags that job seekers should watch out for when evaluating potential employers in the Web3 industry?
So that's a great question, and it's a very topical question at the moment. And I guess especially for developers in the space, there's a lot of fake recruiters operating on LinkedIn at the moment. And it's led to some very well-known hacks within the industry already. And the famous Axie Infinity hack was actually a recruitment, led from a fake job offer. And so did the CoinsPaid hack last year, that derived from a fake job offer as well. So people need to be very, very careful of who's reaching out to him or her on LinkedIn, and because, the consequences, unfortunately, can be fairly catastrophic. And I guess from a more practical level, I guess if it's a project that is already established within the space, I would suggest maybe if you know of somebody that has worked on a project before, maybe ask them for a reference to see what it was like, what should I look out for. So obviously that's maybe not possible for every project, but if it was one of the bigger exchanges or most well-known project in the space, you could find somebody on LinkedIn and ask him or her, I worked for this place before. I even interviewed with this place. I noticed on LinkedIn that you worked there. What was it like? What should I be prepared for? Would you recommend it? And another thing is, ask if it's a startup project, don't be afraid to ask difficult questions within the interview process. And you'll often find if those questions are being answered honestly, that is a good sign. But if those hard questions aren't being answered properly, well, then that's a red flag in itself. And it is something for job seekers on that point to be wary of, because a lot of projects will raise money very, very easily in this coming cycle, as was the case in the last bull cycle. And some of these projects will just hire people for the sake of hiring. So that's not a good environment for a person to be going into. So obviously ask them good questions. What is your roadmap? Ask future employers potentially, what is your future roadmap for me? Where do you see me adding value in the first month, third month, in the sixth month? And yeah, if you have concerns about their funding runway going forward, ask them. If you have concerns on a technological level, ask them. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Again, as you quite rightly alluded to, it's like dating. Not only are they interviewing you, but you should also go in with the mindset that you are interviewing them as well.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I did have a thought as well that, you know, what should job seekers do when you know, potential employers offer up equity or, you know, instead of paying the market rate? What advice would you give on that?
Again, have a look at the project, have a look at the roadmap, have a look at the white paper. If you're not technical enough, have somebody look at, if, for example, if you're a marketer or a BD professional and you might lack technical expertise required to understand the white paper, reach out to a developer and ask him or her whether or not you would recommend this project going forward, whether you see the potential in the project. And you'll find that Web3, like, there is some great people out there that are obviously always willing to help other people. And yeah, no, it's a very supportive industry, I would say. And yeah, get support. And yeah, see whether it's obviously worth your while taking an extra tokens, or equity in lieu of salary. And small things to look out for as well. Do they have an audit report, for example? Has it been updated? Is it publicly available? Have your difficult questions, again, been answered in an interview session? Various different things like that. The background of the founding team. Yeah, there's a whole host of factors, but ultimately, you just have to trust your gut, and it is high risk, high reward. And yeah.
Thanks for that. You know, and you mentioned earlier that, you know, job seekers should network a fair bit, right? So, you know, is a strong online presence necessary to get noticed by Web3 employers?
I would say that personal branding within the Web3 space is very, very important. Most definitely, 100%. Yeah, especially for somebody looking to get their foot in the door. So, yeah, there's no easier way to say it, but yes, and if you're maybe looking for paid employment as a developer and you might lack that experience deploying smart contracts on mainnet, for example, might be worth going to a few hackathons and networking with other developers and getting to know them as individuals, or participating in virtual hackathons, for example, and allowing those developers effectively to see your potential in real time over the course of a couple of days. Yeah, so it is very much an online presence, I feel, is very much important, as is a strong GitHub link if you're a developer, as is a strong Behance portfolio if you're a designer, for example. Yeah, Absolutely. And even developers that like sharing content on Twitter, for example, have ended up getting offers, fantastic offers, as DevRel professionals, which is great as well. So yeah, no, I would, it's obviously as a recruiter, social media is pivotal, LinkedIn especially to what I do. So I would say that having a strong social presence is very, very important for all disciplines. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for that. And
there is a case you made, like where like some people that have very niche skills that are in high demand, for example, are kind of trying to stay away from social media platforms because people like me are reaching out to them. But generally speaking, it's good to have a strong social presence. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, not everyone is, you know, that inept with social media, right? And sometimes, you know, and I think it's really interesting that you said branding, you know, personal branding, because, you know, some people might have very strong opinions and sometimes that might not match with the potential employer, right? So, yeah, I was just thinking about that, you know. That's a very thin line to walk on.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and do specialized courses or certifications really help in landing Web3 jobs?
I would say what is probably a lot more important is getting involved in a project pro bono, maybe for a few months. Again, we're working in a proof of work industry, and proof of interest is, yeah, will help immeasurably in helping you getting a suitable opportunity. Yeah, so courses, of course, do help. And there is some good free resources out there. For example, I guess even if you go on YouTube, for example, the Patrick Collins Foundry course is obviously very well used. Then there's obviously, as I alluded to, the University of Nicosia 12-week Introduction to Digital Currencies program. Yeah, of course, these courses are very, very helpful. But what I would advocate for is just get stuck in within a project, maybe help an early stage project that you like pro bono, and effectively, yeah, get stuck in. And I suppose, it's another term that I like to use is ecosystem targeted networking. And what I mean by that is, say, for example, if you really like a protocol like Algorand or Hedera or whatever it may be, try and find projects building within those ecosystems and reach out to them directly. Maybe reach out to them and just tell them, I understand that you might not need someone full time at this particular time, but let me help you for a few hours a week for a short period of time, and let me build my contacts simultaneously within the space. And you can do that while working a full time job as well. And yeah, you'll find that especially within Web3, that people that identify with certain ecosystems will generally go out their way to help other people that express a strong interest within those ecosystems. So if I identify as a marine that's in love with Chainlink, for example, you can rest assured that other marines are going to really help you if you reach out to them on Twitter or LinkedIn for help.
Got you. And what are the chances of someone without a formal degree or certifications, right, but they have an extensive experience working with Web3 technologies? What are the chances of them getting hired?
Yeah, very positively, very favorably in compared to Web2. I think that institutional factors such as where you went to school are less important, I would say. Again, we're working in a proof of skill based industry, and yeah, that's obviously great. Proof of education, if you can do the work already, it's less relevant. And I guess, to be honest, having a formal degree is obviously a help for any job if it's obviously relevant to what you're doing. But That being said, yeah, again, I wouldn't be too concerned if I didn't have a degree. For example, as a recruiter, I wouldn't be too concerned if I had 4 years, 3 years experience already. Yeah, it's not an industry that's obsessed with institutional factors in the same way that quote unquote Web 2 is.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes also when people do say that they have certain experiences, you know, then you find out a little bit later that, oh, actually, it's only on the surface.
A lot of developers, like a lot of the amazing blockchain developers out there, are self-taught, for example, and they're commanding strong six-figure salaries today. So, and same can be said for people from marketing backgrounds as well, that weren't formally trained as marketers in university, for example, or may not have gone to university at all. To be honest, I wouldn't be overly concerned about not having a degree if you have extensive experience. Again, we're working in a proof of skill based industry, and if you can show your work, well, then the degree is less relevant, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And with the Web3 job market.
For example, I rarely ask candidates where they've went to university, if I'm being completely frank with you.
Right. What? Why? Why is that?
Well, because I'm more focused on their experiences and what they've previously done rather than philosophized over a coffee, you know. I would much rather kind of understand what they did kind of working rather than where they effectively went for a couple of years. And I'm speaking as somebody that did a business course for a couple of years and, yeah, like, don't, yeah, like, I don't know. I often wonder whether it was worth my time spending 3 years of my life doing a business degree. But anyway, that's another conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's definitely another conversation.
Yeah.
with the Web3 job market being so competitive, what can people do to make sure they stand out from the crowd?
Again, I hate to sound boring, but personal branding is absolutely huge. And if you can position yourself by personal branding, as it'll go a long way in terms of setting you aside, absolutely. So standing out, obviously building good contacts, and what I mean by personal branding as well in terms of standing out is it's not by posting every 5 minutes on LinkedIn or Twitter, for example. It's personal branding is as much about building the relationships off chain as much as it is building your own social presence. So yeah, so building relationships, getting to know people, and if you can build a strong personal brand and get people to interact with you from your personal branding efforts, that's brilliant. And then nurture those relationships that you generated off chain. Well then, yeah, that's absolutely fantastic, helping you stand out and having people advocate for you. And don't be if you're passionate about a project and you want to help them out, don't just say you're passionate. That's easy. Prove it. So for example, if you're a community manager, give them some free advice as to how they can maybe grow their presence on certain socials and what they're doing wrong, what their competitors are doing. Various different things like that.
Yeah, and building connections seems key in the Web3 community. How can job seekers network effectively in this space, right? So, you know, is it about going into spaces or how do they... Yeah?
Sorry.
Yeah, no, please go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, no, spaces are great. Obviously reaching out to people. I guess when I come back to ecosystem targeted networking, so for example, we'll just use a example, maybe Algorand, for example. Find key figures within the Algorand ecosystem and seek their support. And maybe not everyone will reply back to, but I guarantee you some of them will. And So again, connect with them on LinkedIn, send them a message, make the message obviously compelling and give them a reason maybe as to why they should write back to you. Again, go back to offering opinions on competitor strategies, whether it's ways to improve maybe community engagement or onboarding new developers, whatever it may be. And that way then you're not just proving that you're not just telling them that you're passionate, you're proving it. And
what are some things people often get wrong about working in Web3? And how can we set them straight?
Yeah, definitely. So I guess it is a difficult industry to work in. You really do have to, it is still a new nascent industry. You do need to be passionate about what you do. If you're not passionate about the project that you're working for, you're not going to effectively enjoy it. And I guess a lot of candidates, understandably, can be attracted by more money, but then they quickly realize that maybe the culture isn't as good within that project, and no amount of money can no amount of money can make them stay within a project given how bad the culture is. Because culture does go a long way. Like, there is some toxic cultures or workplaces within the industry, and some great ones as well. So I would obviously ask somebody working or that has worked at a project before or is currently working at it, what's it like to work there, to be honest? And I guess understanding that things like vesting schedules, for example, that obviously cash is king, but if you find a project that you believe in, you'll find that a lot of projects are willing to negotiate deals with respect to vesting schedules if they really want you. Yeah, work-life balance is obviously huge as well. Again, if you want a 9-to-5, typically 9-to-5 job, it's probably not the space for you. And if you want job security, this is definitely not the space for you. And yeah, it is still an industry that has problems from a working perspective. And to overcome those problems, you just have to be passionate about what you do. But there is a lot of autonomy working in the space as well. And it is a globally remote space in for a large part as well. So a lot of, for example, working parents, for example, whilst the lack of job security isn't ideal, the fact that they can work their hours around their children is obviously a great thing as well. So yeah, there's pros and cons, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a matter of perspective, right?
American candidates, for example, things like health insurance can be a big deal breaker as well. So with certain projects, obviously, most projects, it's business-to-business type employment relationship. So obviously, health insurance is a big factor for American candidates as well. And yeah, and if you're a high-level, C-level executive at a major corporation looking to work in Web3 full-time, there is that golden handcuff syndrome as well. You'll probably just have to take off the golden handcuffs and accept a greater degree of risk in your professional working situation.
I love that expression, golden handcuff. It's the first time I've heard it. Okay. Yes, and how can one stay updated with what's happening in the Web3 world and find job opportunities?
Yeah, so there's a number of, obviously, job boards. There's a number of, I have no affiliation with this job board, but web3.career seems to be probably the best of them out there, I would say. There's various different Telegram channels and for finding jobs as well. There's a few Telegram channels like Web3 Jobs, for example, and you'll find that those jobs that are advertised there, they tend to be looking for people relatively quickly. So that's a good one as well. And obviously, LinkedIn as well is a great place for finding jobs. Various different VCs have jobs of their portfolio companies. Yeah, advertising roles as well. There's no end to the amount of space where there's no end to the amount of job boards in the space. So I don't know if that answered your question, but
yeah, it did. Oh, thank you so much for your amazing insights, Owen. really appreciate you taking the time to unpack all of this with us. And to all our fantastic listeners, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation. Don't forget to express your support by liking, subscribing, and sharing this episode. Thank you for tuning in, and until we meet next time, stay well.